Hi, and welcome to The Cutaneous Connection, a podcast from the staff at Dermatology Times, aiming to provide you with the latest updates in dermatology, to exclusive interviews with leading industry experts, and a glimpse of what goes on behind the scenes. I'm your host, Morgan Petronelli. This episode will highlight some breaking news coming out of the sun protection world with a report by Valisher, an independent lab dedicated to batch testing medications before they reach consumers, which found in a recent test that 78 different sunscreen and after sun care products contain benzene, a human carcinogen, with some batches containing up to 3 times the FDA concentration limit of 2 parts per million. Let's dive right in. Today I have joining me David Light, founder and CEO of Valisher. Thank you so much for joining me today.
So I want to start off by asking, can you pretty much explain what Valisher is and what you do?
Sure. So I'm one of the founders and the CEO of Valisher. And Valisher is an independent laboratory that analyzes and certifies drug products and consumer products so that individual patients and consumers can get independently certified products. And we work with healthcare systems throughout the supply chain, pharmacies, wholesalers, and manufacturers.
And my next question, what sparked this idea to test sunscreens and after sun care products?
So we started adding benzene to our standard analysis towards the end of last year. And we're constantly expanding what we analyze and what we look for. And we have a major pharmacy, actually Valisher Rx, that's closely partnered with Valisher. And so we're constantly analyzing thousands of drug products. And there was an individual who ordered some sunscreen, and we analyzed it and found a problem pretty clearly. And as we analyzed more samples, it was pretty clear quite fast that this was not just one bottle, one problem, but a much more pervasive issue throughout the product category and related categories, like after sun care products.
So on that note, specifically, what did your results reveal? Was there something that particularly surprised you about the results?
So we've filed another petition on benzene and hand sanitizers, and we're now finding it obviously in other categories like sunscreen and after sun care products. It is very surprising to me to see benzene at all. I mean, this is one of the most studied and concerning known human carcinogens that are known to science. It's extremely well correlated with blood cancers like leukemia, and has been largely banned in a variety of industries for decades. I mean, the dangers of benzene have been studied for over 100 years. So it's very concerning and honestly frustrating to see benzene so prominently contaminating products and at very high levels. I mean, it was very surprising to see it not just at trace levels, which are also concerning, but all the way up to over 3 times the emergency limit that the FDA has imposed for the COVID-19 emergency and hand sanitizers, or for very special use specialty products. Where benzene used is unavoidable, which certainly doesn't seem to be the case for sunscreens. So it was very surprising and very concerning.
Absolutely. So my next question is, what would you say is your call to action for the FDA, companies, dermatologists, and consumers?
So call to action right away, of course, is for FDA and manufacturers to investigate and take action on these contaminated batches. Getting contaminated sunscreens off the market and similar products, I think, is extremely important. Obviously, sunscreen is a very important product for the prevention of sun cancer and for protection against solar radiation. So having patients and doctors that recommend it be comfortable and feel safe using such important products is absolutely top priority. Also, beyond that, our FDA citizen petition is asking for action on the FDA's part to fill in some pretty large regulatory gaps regarding benzene. I mean, the FDA basically says just don't use it because it's unacceptably toxic. But that's not an actual number to test for. And really, the only time that you see a concentration number is in emergency guidance or in very special cases, of which we're still finding products even beyond that. But especially with sunscreens, where you use it in such high volumes, and you could be using hundreds of grams a day, which is a lot more than a small pill. So we want to see not just a concentration limit, but also a maximum daily exposure limit. These kinds of limits have been the reason for a lot of other drug recalls in tablets, you know, products like Zantac, or metformin, diabetes drugs that have been contaminated with a probable human carcinogen like NDMA. Benzene is a known human carcinogen, same category as asbestos. And yet there's really no guidance for a total exposure, just a concentration. And so we really think that gap has to be addressed quite quickly. We asked for it when we filed the petition on benzene and hand sanitizer. And for consumers, I mean, certainly be vigilant. I mean, we've posted all of our data. If you go to Valisher.com, you can see at the top of the page, read a lot more about the whole issue and also get a copy of the petition. We have tables in there of every single batch of product that we tested. We tested almost 300 batches of sunscreen and after sun care products. Also those that we didn't detect any benzene in, of which there was over 200 batches. So there are plenty of products, sunscreen and after sun care products that we looked at that do not contain benzene. So we definitely want consumers to understand that this isn't an overall problem with sunscreen. There's definitely some contamination issues that need to be addressed as soon as possible. But there are good products out there, and we certainly hope people continue to use sunscreen as it's so important. I think something that we do get asked a lot about is, you know, what ingredients or what companies to avoid. And, you know, we're really, people need to understand that it's a very much a batch-to-batch problem. It doesn't seem to be consistent with any one particular company. I mean, even a company that we saw passed one or two of the batches that we saw won't necessarily pass all the other batches. It's a supply chain issue, which is incredibly complicated and can be very different from company to company or even batch to batch, you know, different factories all over the world. So I think paying close attention to the petition and other information that we have on our website will hopefully be helpful. It's certainly not something like only avoid chemical sunscreens or sprays or, you know, we found this issue in almost every kind of sunscreen product. You know, it's sprays, lotions, chemical sunscreens, and mineral-based sunscreens. So it is a little bit more work to be vigilant in this case, but it certainly appears to be a batch-to-batch issue, as we've seen with a lot of other drug products.
I also have joining me Dr. Christopher Bunick, Associate Professor of Dermatology at Yale University and member of Dermatology Times Editorial Advisory Board. So can you just explain what benzene is and what are the dangers associated with it?
Yeah, so benzene is a molecule that's often used in industrial solvents. It's a aromatic-based compound that has been shown to cause cancer in humans, in particular hematologic or bloodborne cancers, among others. And the concern is that if people are exposed to benzene, that there is a risk of developing cancer. And whether this comes from inhalation, ingestion, or absorption through the skin, there are obviously many routes. But the point is that benzene as a whole has been deemed carcinogenic by the FDA. And so it's important that we understand what benzene is doing in sunscreen products.
Absolutely. So my next question, especially during a time when consumers are becoming increasingly more aware of sunscreen ingredients, you know, how do you think this data will impact the photoprotection world?
Well, the hope is that people still understand that sun protection is important. It is still the main message. Even the company Valisure, who published these findings about benzene in sunscreen products, make it very clear that there are many sunscreen products that do not contain benzene contamination. Therefore, the message from the dermatology provider standpoint is that people, patients, should still be using sunscreen. They should be protecting themselves, that the benefits of using sunscreen and protecting against skin cancer are very much proven. So we definitely advise and want patients to continue to use sunscreen, but use the sunscreens that seem to be safe and are not contaminated with benzene. And of course, this also includes wearing, you know, hats, sun protective clothing. There are many forms of sun protection out there in addition to the sunscreen. But the point is that not all sunscreens contain the contamination, and therefore it's very important that people understand it's still recommended and safe to use sunscreens that do not contain the benzene contamination.
And my next question, you know, how do you think the FDA and companies could have missed this? You know, how could this whole situation have happened, do you think?
Well, not having worked for the FDA myself, it's a little bit hard to know exactly the regulatory reasons. I think that on one hand, it's just that there are so many products out there in general. There are so many medications, so many drugs, so many over-the-counter products that it becomes impossible to oversee every single ingredient, every single contamination in products. So in general, sunscreens have been watched and regulated to some degree. In particular, there's been emphasis and focus on SPF level and what SPF level and water resistance claims should or should not be on the sunscreen labels. And so there's been emphasis on that. But I think that the idea that there could be a cancer-causing contaminant in sunscreens to date hasn't really been proven. But Valisher's study shows that there are definitely many sunscreens on the market today that have this benzene contamination. And I think it's really important also to understand that Valisher's findings were not that the chemical components in chemical absorbing sunscreens like avobenzone, for example, those chemicals that are in the chemical sunscreens were not breaking down. They were not the benzene found in the sunscreens was not a degradation product of those chemicals, at least based on the data that Valisher acquired or examined. And this is important because a lot of sunscreens out there, they have both the mineral or physical blockers like zinc and titanium, and then they have these chemical absorbers. So people are gonna use different varieties or even blends of these physical and chemical blocker sunscreens. And it's important for people to understand the chemicals themselves are not what's causing this benzene. This benzene is a contamination. And so it comes back to your question of, well, what is the role of the FDA going forward? And I think Valisher, in publishing this FDA petition, is hoping that the FDA will look more seriously about why there's benzene in these sunscreen products. And then what's the next step? Is this a manufacturing problem? Where is the benzene getting in? Because in the data, when you look at the actual tables that Valisher put out, there are companies that have some sunscreens that have benzene contamination and some that don't. And so it's the same company, different sunscreens. So the question is, well, what is the variation in the manufacturing of these sunscreens, even within one company? I think that's also an important question. And I'm hoping the FDA will look into this for our patients, but also so we as providers can help our patients. One of the most common questions I get is, well, hey, doc, what sunscreen do you recommend? And for dermatologists, it's an important question. We need to know how to advise our patients.
And on that same note, you know, how should dermatologists address their patients' concerns when it comes to this news and, you know, picking or using a sunscreen or after sun care product?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that for now, I think providers, dermatology providers, and of course other healthcare providers should tell patients to read the article, that the tables themselves are published by Valisher. They can access that data. And included in that list is a list of sunscreens for which the company found no benzene contamination. And so the first simple answer is, if patients are overly concerned about the benzene contamination, they can actually go and look at the table that did not have benzene contamination and pick from one of those sunscreens. And in general, I think the American Academy of Dermatology has recommended SPF 50 or higher. So there's going to be many sunscreens, both physical blockers and chemical blockers, among that list that did not have benzene contamination. And I think that that's the place I would start. But it's also important to tell our patients that this is a new finding, that Valisure is leading the way. They've done this with other drugs, in particular the Zantac, and as well as most recently hand sanitizer. And that the long-term implications of what this means for the sunscreen industry and how they're going to tweak their production, I think that remains to be seen, especially with regard to the spray formulation.
Absolutely. And another point I want to bring up is, you know, Valisure brought up the point that they had this study commissioned, you know, someone had asked them, hey, can you test some of these sunscreens? And they found obviously a high level of benzene. You know, do you think, you know, without this commissioned study, do you think this could have been happening for quite a while and we just weren't aware of it?
Most likely the benzene contamination has actually been going on a long time. Obviously there's no data to necessarily say what was happening 10, 20 years ago, but I think overall it comes back to the regulation aspects. There are thousands of different sunscreen products, and Valisure tested a small fraction of those. And many of these products have been around a long, long time. Some are newer, and sprays are rather newer. There's now these stick, kind of like deodorant type stick based sunscreens. So that formulation. But the idea is that benzene contamination probably has been going on for some time. And this is why the importance of the FDA recognizing this as a serious issue and addressing once and for all, hey, how are we going to prevent this in all consumer products, not just sunscreens? I think it's important to address that. And one of the things that I like that Valisure did in their report is they highlighted the danger of benzene, even on our marine ecosystem. I thought that that was an important touch, because the damage to coral reefs that are suspected to occur from sunscreens, or at least have been blamed on sunscreens, I think it's important that we also step back and understand, well, is there actually a connection between any of these contaminants and harm to the marine ecosystem? Whether that's officially connected or true, I think there just needs to be more investigation. This is the tip of the iceberg, and more science is needed to really understand the depth of the answers to these questions. I'll just conclude by saying that it's important for patients to continue to protect themselves from the sun. We know that sunburns increase risk of skin cancer. And while this report from Valisure could be concerning to many people, particularly if their favorite brands of sunscreen are on that list of high benzene, that I think that continuing to protect for yourself from the sun and choose from maybe different set of sunscreens that have been shown to not be contaminated is maybe the short-term best step. And if there are more significant concerns among patients who may not be feeling well, and they actually think that there's a problem, see your medical provider.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, and you have a great day.
For more Dermatology Times content, from articles and videos to podcasts, you can visit www.dermatologytimes.com.